I'm looking at you. I was sitting there a while ago and I was wondering if there is at least one thing the Lord has spoken to you. If it is, if He spoke something to you today, I advise you to write it down. Because by the time you come home, there are the pots and pans and the children, and you may forget. See, the Lord brings us together to invest something into our lives. And it's very important that we don't forget. Now, we are still talking about, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For this last session, I chose the title for the message, Free to See Beyond the Present. And the scripture that I chose for that is, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, which is Hebrews 11:1. A few weeks ago, I got a phone call from a young man that we know. And when he was on the phone, he said to me, I don't know what to do. My wife wants to leave me. She says she don't love me anymore. She found someone else. He said, we are married for 4 years now, and we have a 3-year-old child, and I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose my daughter. I'm heartbroken. I don't know how your present looks like. Here you are, looking so wonderful and smiling, but maybe you have also deep, deep things and darkness, and you don't know how to look beyond that. You know, maybe you are out of a job and by next week your savings is running out and you don't know what to do. Or maybe you have marriage problems and you don't know if your marriage will survive. Or your child is running with the wrong crowd and you don't know how to get her back. Or your health is going downhill and the doctor does give you very little hope. Or you struggle in your walk with the Lord. Maybe for a few years you prayed for your most important prayer requests, and God has not answered yet. This young man who called me on the phone, he said, I can't think of nothing else. I make mistakes at my work because I cannot concentrate anymore. You know, when we have very difficult things, the present consumes us. In 24 hours, our thoughts, our feelings, our fears, our tears, everything centers around our desperate situation. And sometimes we are even drained physically and emotionally. And we are not able to see anything beyond our present darkness. Now, in the face of our real present situation, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what truth will make me free? The truth that God has a future for you, in spite of all the things you are surrounded with. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, this was God's message to the exiles that were in captivity in Babylon, and it is his message to us as well. So how is it possible for you to see a good future when you are at the darkest place of your life? How can you see it? Only by faith in the truth of God's promises. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. How does this work? This afternoon, we will take Prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament as our example, how to see beyond the present darkness we are facing. Now, who was Habakkuk? He was a prophet in Judah, and it was during the time when Judah was going very fast downhill, around 625 BC or a little earlier. We don't know much about the man, but he got a message from God for Judah. He had to announce to them the judgment of God that was coming through the Chaldeans. And when you know a little bit about the history, what he prophesied happened when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah and carried off most of the people. And later on, he came back, and there was the siege of the Jerusalem, and the temple was destroyed, and he carried even more captives away. Now, the reason for this judgment that Habakkuk had to pronounce was idolatry and wickedness of the people, and especially the rulers, the kings, and that no one wanted to listen to God and return to him. Some time ago, I had a dream. A few weeks ago, I dreamed about my grandmother's coffee bread. I was sitting in the kitchen way back in Germany, and there was my grandmother's coffee bread in front of me, so fluffy with raisins and everything. And just when I was about to eat, I woke up. And I said to myself, I wished I could have just slept a few minutes longer so I could taste it. When you wake up from a good dream, you wish you could continue. But if you have a nightmare, you know, like you are standing on a mountain ridge and you look out in the valley and all of a sudden you slip and you go over the cliff, and in mid-fall, you wake up and you say, thank God it was only a dream. Now, Prophet Habakkuk had not a dream but a vision, but it was a nightmare vision. He saw the Chaldeans coming and invading Judah, killing the people, taking many captives and carrying them off. And when you read his vision, he describes in detail the violence of the Chaldeans, the way they waged war, the destruction, and how they laid siege. And then in the end, he also sees God coming in the end times to judge the earth. Now, when the vision ended, Habakkuk could not say, thank God it was only a dream, because God said to him, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. You read that in Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. In other words, God said, it will for sure happen what you saw in your vision. Now, Habakkuk was deeply impacted by the vision, and he records what this vision did to him. Habakkuk 3:16, he writes there, I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. Because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. Now, we don't know exactly all the details that he saw in the vision, but it was enough for him to tremble and to be so shaken. He says, decay enters my bones. When you read later on in the Bible, when the Chaldeans came and laid siege, it was horrendous in Jerusalem. People had no food left. There was famine. And people even slaughtered their own children and ate them. And when the Chaldeans finally broke through the wall, the king fled, Zedekiah and some others with him, but they caught up with him. And they took the king and they slaughtered his children in front of his eyes. And then they gouged his eyes out. And then they carried him off to Babylon, where he died later on. He was a prisoner there. And the Chaldeans were very violent. And can you imagine Habakkuk saw these things in his vision? And now he had to live with these images in his mind every day. He saw the future, and God said, it's coming. And he knew each morning he got up, the fulfillment of this terrifying vision is one day closer to arrive. And I imagine that as time went by, he must have recognized more and more clues coming together. And then when he looked at the men, women, and children in his neighborhood, he must have had flashbacks to his vision. And he knew these things are going to happen to them. Now, Habakkuk had every reason to be depressed and even suicidal. But instead, he prays, and he ends with his prayer with an amazing proclamation. I want to read it to you, what he said. We read it in Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. He said in the end of his prayer, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. So, how then could Habakkuk rejoice while waiting for doomsday to come? What made it possible for him to rejoice? Did he rejoice because God is going to punish the people that didn't listen to him? And finally, he will get some credit as a prophet when the Chaldeans come? No, he didn't rejoice in any of it. The reason to rejoice for Habakkuk was in the Lord himself. He said, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The truth Habakkuk knew about his God set him free to rejoice even as calamity was approaching. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, Habakkuk knew the truth about God's character. The truth about God's character is that God is unchanging. He knew that from Israel's history and from God's word. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Another scripture, Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. Psalm 119:89 and 90 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. See, the truth Habakkuk knew about God set him free to rejoice, even in the midst of very, very, very difficult circumstances. He could look back to Israel's history and say, Israel's history is proof that God always deals according to his character and in accordance with his truth, his eternal word. God does not deviate. What he says, it will happen. What he promises, it will happen. Now, Habakkuk knew the truth he knew about God. He applied this to his present nightmare situation. So he must have said to himself, since God always deals in accordance with his character and the eternal truth of God's word, therefore God will never break his covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God said in Genesis 17:7-8, and I will establish my covenant between you and me. He talked to Abraham. And then he was telling him, it will be for all generation. It will be an everlasting covenant. And the land that I will give you will be everlasting possession. And in Judges 2:1, God says, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have shown to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Psalm 89:34, my covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. So Habakkuk applied this truth to the present terrible nightmare situation. And he must have said to himself, yes, we walked away from God. But he promised and he will not go back on his word. So this time also, even if that judgment is coming, God will not break his covenant with us. And because Habakkuk knew the truth about God's character and that he always deals according to his word, he also knew that God will only punish his people and correct them, but he will never throw them away. Now, I have so many scriptures and I don't have the time to read all of them, so I will cut them a little short. Psalm 89, 30 to 37, God said, if David's sons in the future forsake my law and walk no longer in my judgments, God said, I will not break my covenant with them, but I will punish and correct them. So Habakkuk knew, based on the truth of the scripture, that this time God also will only punish and correct them, but not abandon them. And because Habakkuk knew the truth about God's character and the truth about the words he spoke, he knew God will forgive and restore when they return to him with all their heart. And I am sure Habakkuk knew the words from Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 5, where it says that if Israel is scattered to the ends of the world because of their disobedience, if they return, when they return with their heart, God says, I will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. And then he said the same thing, and you will again possess the land, and again I will bless you. See, Habakkuk knew that. He had this vision. It was all darkness, but he had the truth of God's word. So he knew this time also the Lord will restore us and bring us back. Now, we have seen in our generation Israel coming back to the land, 1948. And so many people, so many Jews from all over the world are coming back to Israel. And some of them were even scattered during these times when the Assyrians came, when the Chaldeans came. But Habakkuk could see that. He could believe that in spite of this nightmare vision that he had. And he also knew, because God always deals according to his character and what he promised in his word, that somehow he will bring those safely through the times of judgment that trust him. Habakkuk knew about Noah. The Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and your household. And God saved them, where the whole earth faced judgment. And when we look at David, and Habakkuk knew about David, you know, David said, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 34, verse 32. So Habakkuk knew, looking at the truth of the scripture, this time also God will bring me and others that trust him safely through the times of judgment that is coming. And the same about the end times. You know, Habakkuk saw this when God comes in the very end of mankind's history, you know, God will come and judge the people. But then he also declared, you will go forth for the salvation of thy people. So Habakkuk knew God will always deliver his people. The truth Habakkuk knew about his God and the way God keeps his promises set him free to see beyond the present. He could see by faith. What did he see by faith? He saw by faith that God will keep a remnant of Judah alive. He saw by faith that they will return from captivity and rebuild the temple. He saw by faith that once again they will worship in Jerusalem and that God will bless them again and he will still send the promised Messiah. How did Habakkuk respond? He rejoiced by seeing by faith beyond the present difficult and dark situation. Now, when you think about rejoicing, that is celebrating, cheering, exalting, expressing joy, and being glad. I think people around him must have said, Prophet Habakkuk is a madman. Yesterday he told us about doom and gloom, and he predicts all these horrible things, and now look at him. He's rejoicing, he's smiling. He should be depressed, he should be weeping, he should be mourning, he should commit suicide. So how exactly did Habakkuk rejoice by faith? Remember, the Chaldean invasion was still ahead of him. And the restoration of the remnant that was in Babylon would be only 70 years later. So he was rejoicing today. How did he do it? How did he rejoice by faith? He made a decision to rejoice based on the truth he knew about God. Habakkuk 3:18 says, Habakkuk says, yet I will exalt in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. You notice he said twice, I will, I will, I will. He made this decision to rejoice by faith with his will, not with his feelings. His feelings said crying and mourning and being depressed, but he said, I will rejoice. Now, how was he rejoicing? He was rejoicing in hope because he saw beyond the present difficulties and calamities. He was looking beyond the present situation and the coming disaster to God's promises. He was rejoicing in hope of what God promised regarding himself and his people. See, God had said to him, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. And then God had told Habakkuk in verse 4, but the righteous will live by his faith. See, God had told him all the bad things in his vision, what will happen, and then he said to him, but the righteous will live by his faith. And he also said that God will go forth for the salvation of his people. So Habakkuk was rejoicing in hope because he was able to see beyond the present. And then something happened. His hope turned into faith. I want to read you Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You need to notice, faith is not starting with faith. Faith is starting with hope. That's the first step toward faith, is hope. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. See, when Habakkuk saw the dreadful vision, he could only see death and destruction and hopelessness. But then God told him the plan he had for his people after the Chaldeans. The prophet had new hope. And then Habakkuk took hold of these words of hope that God spoke to him and combined them with the truth he knew about God's character. You remember we talked about God is unchanging. He will always do what he promised. Habakkuk took the words of hope and combined them with the truth he knew about God's character. And when he did this, something wonderful happened. His hope turned into faith. And he responded with rejoicing in the God of his salvation. He was saying, though the fig tree should not blossom, and all these things will happen, yet I will exalt in the Lord. Rejoicing is an expression of faith and trust in God and in his word. You see, faith always receives from God. And Habakkuk had come to the place of having faith in what God said. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, but the righteous will live by his faith. Habakkuk's faith opened the door for God to fulfill his promises to him. I hope you understood what I was trying to share with you. You know, Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, dear sisters, the story of Habakkuk and the vision and how he ended up being able to see beyond the present was written for our instruction. So we too can have hope in the difficult situations we face. So we also can learn how to see beyond the present to the promises of God and end up with faith. So, what do we need to do? When our present problems consume and paralyze us, God wants to set us free to see by faith beyond our present darkness, just like Habakkuk. So what do we need to do? To see beyond our present, we need to learn the same thing that Habakkuk practiced. First of all, we need to make the Lord our reason to see and rejoice by faith. You know, when you look at the circumstances, they don't give you a reason for joy and faith. But Jesus does. When you look at him, He gives you a reason to have joy and faith. We must remember God's unchanging character when we look at his word and when we look at the history, how God dealt with people. You know, God never lied. There was not one promise that failed. He always was true to his word. And Jesus was saying, I am the way and the truth and the life, John 14:6. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes and forever. We need to remember that. God will not change, not in the 21st centuries and not in the 2,000 years ago. Now, if we keep that in mind, then we also can say like Habakkuk, because I know God's character and God's promises, therefore I know he will provide for my needs even if I lose my job. What does the Bible say about God looking after us? Matthew 19:26 says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not worth much more than they? So if you lost your job, you can say today, by faith, I can see beyond my present situation. I see by faith Jesus providing for my needs. You also can say, you know, if you have a troubled marriage, because I know God's promises are true, I know God's character is unchanging, therefore I know he will restore my marriage. He will do a miracle. How? I don't know. But God's truth says, with God, all things are possible. All things. That's Matthew 19:26. And because you know God's unchanging character, you can see by faith. Yes, my child is running with the wrong crowd, and I don't know how to get her back, but I know, according to God's promise, he will go after the lost sheep. You know, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. And in Luke 15:4, he describes how the shepherd is leaving 99 in the wilderness and going after the one that's lost. How long? Until he finds it. You apply that to your child. And then you can say, by faith, I see by faith Jesus bringing my child home. What about when your health is going downhill? You know God's unchanging character, and you know the truth of his promises. Therefore, you know he is your healer. By his scourging, we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. So can you see by faith beyond the bad report you got from your doctor? You can do that. And because God's character is unchanging and the truth of his promises, you know that God will keep all the promises he gave to you in his word. Joshua 23:14 says, not one word of all the good things, of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed, all have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. This was written for your instruction. Do you know that? Can you see by faith beyond your present when you read this? You can see by faith that he will keep his promises to you. And if you struggle in your faith because God didn't answer something so far, the truth of God's word says, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. So by faith, you can see beyond the present difficulties you struggle in your faith, and you can say, by faith I see that I am strong, that I'm walking with him. Now, I want to say one more note. Sometimes we tell God how he shall go about doing these things. You may see by faith, but leave it up to him how he's going to do it. He only promised us that he will do it. Don't prescribe to him how. Sometimes we don't understand, but leave it up to him when and how he will fulfill it. One thing you may know, he never makes a single mistake, not even one time. And then, like Habakkuk, we need to fill our hearts with the hope of God's word. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do these things, like Habakkuk, like we just talked about, then we can make a decision to rejoice in hope. We can say, I will rejoice in the Lord, regardless how I feel. I can see beyond my present by faith. And then the last thing we need to do, like Habakkuk, we need to allow hope to turn into faith. See, we have been told the promises, the words of hope. And now, what do we need to do to turn them into faith? We said hope is the first step towards faith. We need to combine the hope we find in God's word with what we know about God's character in believing. In believing that God will never act apart from his character and the truth and his faithfulness, he will surely fulfill his word. If we combine the two things, the words of hope we heard and what we know about God's unchanging character, it will turn into faith. Then we will respond with rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And maybe we can then also make a declaration like Habakkuk. You know, he was saying, if the fig tree is not blossom and if the olive tree and all these things go bad, then maybe our declaration will sound like this. Though the economy is going downhill, though I lost my job and I have no savings, though the roof in my house is leaking, though my car got totaled last week, though my favorite Walmart store closed the doors, though my spouse forgot my birthday, though my children caused me sleepless nights, though the doctor gave me a bad report, though I have only peanut butter left in my pantry, though my best friend betrayed me, though I am all alone and discouraged, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. See, faith always receives from God. When God sees faith in our heart, he will act on our behalf. Faith opens the door for God to fulfill his promises. You know, nothing in God's kingdom works apart from faith. Hebrews 11:12 says, "Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And when you read Hebrews 11, it says throughout the chapter, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. By faith you see beyond the present. Many years ago, there was a time in my life I prayed for something, and it was really, really very difficult situation. And I didn't know what to do. You know, in spite of prayer and fasting and believing, the situation got worse. And humanly speaking, I saw no solution. So I realized all I have left is my faith in God's truth, in his promises. I can't think of anything else I can try. It was not anything personal, but something that was very close to my heart. So that day, I was sitting at McDonald's, which is my favorite place to go. I think my husband is so blessed that this is my favorite restaurant he can take me out to. I was sitting at McDonald's thinking that I got nothing left than my faith in God's promise. And I took a pen and a piece of paper, and I wrote something down that I want to read to you, what I wrote down about that situation, what I will do. And it has to do by seeing beyond the present. I wrote down, I made my decision. I will only believe. I will not look at the past. I will not look at the present. I will only look to my God, with whom all things are possible. I will honor God with my faith by thanking him for the answer now before I can see anything. I will believe until I see the fulfillment of what he promised in his word and to me personal. I will not entertain any other option. I will not listen to my fear and my doubts or anyone telling me it cannot happen. I will choose to rejoice and be happy now instead of weeping for what I see happening in the present. And then I wrote down, I know and I will believe this. My God cannot fail. He is faithful to me. His word is true. And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. I wrote this down, and dear sisters, I practice this every time fear and grips my heart and I see the things getting even worse, and it did get worse. I decided I will not listen to this. I will have no other option than believe. And you know, 3 months after I wrote this down, God did a miracle in that situation. And it was an answer to prayer far beyond what I had expected and far beyond what I could have imagined. I know it works. That's why I'm telling you this. Dear sisters, I don't know what you go through, but learn and practice to see beyond the present with the eyes of faith. It will open the door for God to fulfill his promises he made to you in his word. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I got a little plaque on my night table. It's not a Bible verse, but it's almost as good as one. It says, faith is not believing that God can. It is knowing that he will. I believe God wants you today to lift up your eyes like Habakkuk and see beyond your present to his promises and start rejoicing in what he promised to do and he will do. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, we are so blessed to have the promises in your word and to know that you surely will fulfill all that you have said. Lord, I pray for my sisters that you help each one to see beyond the present by faith, to let them know the truth about your word and your promises, and that you give them the freedom to rejoice today for what you are going to do in their lives and the solutions that you have and the future that you have for each one. Fill them with your faith. Fill them with the words of hope and help them to practice what we talked about today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.